Aloha.
Hello and welcome. We are back from the BallerLifestyle.com. This is my mic arm. It's all out of whack. I think this is okay. From the BallerLifestyle.com, it's the Baller Lifestyle Podcast. My name is Brian Beckner. Episode number 476 of the podcast. If you have not already, go back and check out episode number 475. We reviewed the fantastic Fever Dream Sylvester Stallone 1986 classic Cobra. I haven't gotten as much blowback as I normally do, because usually everyone's like, how come you didn't have me on to do it? And a lot of people have suggested that movie over the years. Look, I am not the best at staying organized, but we did have a fantastic guest, and I hope you guys liked it. I thought it was really funny. If you would like to remark about that show or any other one, you can always send us an email. I noticed more people are leaning into voicemail these days, which is also good. Mailbag at theballerlifestyle.com is the email address. You can also call us and leave us a voicemail, 949-464-TBLS. As always, I encourage you to subscribe to the bonus content that we do. $5 a month or $55 a year, available to you via the link in your show notes, or go to theballerlifestyle.com, click the link at the top of the page, and we can discuss. I am joined now, as always, by Mr. Ed Daly. Ed, how are you, buddy?
I'm doing well. I have a question for you. So I just read when I was sitting down, like somebody tweeted about it, like, Taylor Swift has broken up with someone I had never heard of, but like, do you think, I know she's crazy,
rich,
popular, like obviously rich, but crazy popular. And like, she just played in, MetLife right by me. And like the buzz about like, hey, somebody's taking their daughter. And does anyone know where I can get tickets for my daughter? And blah, blah, blah.
Insane.
I know it's crazy popular. I know all the Ticketmaster stuff, but like, do we know about, I don't think she's dating somebody super famous that she just broke up with, but like, we hear about every relationship and like, it's a big deal. Is it just cause she's so famous that it's talked about, or like, why do people care that much?
I think, well, that's a good question. Cause I don't care. I mean, I assume we know about it because she pushes this information out.
Yeah. Like
via her machine.
I don't know like what precedent it is. Like,
yeah, who's similar?
Like Bieber, like we did hear about that, but I don't know. Like,
what about Madonna? Madonna used to fuck a lot.
But we'd hear about some of it. I feel like I'm hearing about who's
everyone.
Was it Matty Healy?
I don't know.
Like, we're hearing about every detail. Like, people date for a few weeks and then not, and it's like, I read a headline and I don't, you know, I'm not on like the type of websites that she would, of information would be on. And it's like, they're inseparable.
Stop.
She and Matty Healy are inseparable. I read that somewhere. Like, it was sad. Like, it was in a real publication.
Yeah.
And then it's like, I just read tonight they broke up.
They were together like a week.
Right. Inseparable.
Inseparable. What? Right. I never heard of the guy or the band. I don't know anything about him.
Matty Healy, I think he was the guy that exploited the Three Stooges in the 30s.
Possibly.
No, that was Ted Healy.
Oh, so Ted Healy. Very close. Very close. I don't know. I don't know who he is. I assume all these things are made up. I one time heard... Oh my God, the pen. The pen's been dropped. I swear to God, I don't do that on purpose.
You know how we hear about Tom Cruise, but we know it's like a whole beard PR thing?
Yeah.
But like, we're getting buzzed with info on guys named Matty Healy.
I don't know. Yeah, why would we care? Like, that's not a big score for her. And also, she just broke up with some dude, and I didn't know who that was either. I once heard that that Julia Roberts and Benjamin Bratt, who I think was on Law and Order, but I, of course, only know him from the great Blood In, Blood Out, Bound by Honor.
Yeah, Esai.
Yeah. Benjamin Bratt and Julia Roberts, who were a couple for like many years, only ever interacted when they were on a red carpet. They were a completely invented. And you could see what's in it for Benjamin Bratt. He was kind of well known, but he's not
super well known. Yeah. Good looking.
Yeah, good looking.
There couldn't have been stunt casting when it came to Lyle Lovett. Like that right. must have been
that,
real.
That had to, right. That had to be real because Lyle Lovett, he's from Texas and he's an aw shucks type of dude. And he wouldn't see the benefit in that where he's like, I can raise my profile. And he doesn't have a publicist or anything like that. So similar, like Matt Healy, I get that it's good for him. But then is it like a week in? He's like, actually, you know what? This is kind of a lot. I'm out. And then they broke up.
She's got a long back. I can't take it.
Yes. Yeah. She looks like a mop. No, it's really, it is. So it's such a weird world when everything is manufactured around you and your whole life is manufactured. And it's like, I have to have another person in my life right away. And they have to be sort of famous, but not more famous than me. It's just so fucking weird. But the answer is, I don't know. I don't know anything about any of these people.
Another question I have for you.
Yeah.
Another article. I was just perusing through the Washington Post and found a DC area crime.
Oh yeah.
Woman accused of dismembering and grilling remains of 71-year-old mother.
Wow.
It's so much work.
She did a bad job.
If you need, this is horrible to admit, but I've thought about how easy I could pull off a murder.
Oh, yeah. It's not that easy.
Dismembering and grilling, that's a lot of work. How many bones do we have? That's a lot of work to get it into the grill. I assume
she
chopped into pieces. You take your 71-year-old mom on a hike.
Oh,
where there's like a high cliff and you do a little bump.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, exactly. You make it look like an accident.
You take them on a cruise.
Yeah. So cruise, definitely. We just some guys.
Foreshadowing.
Yeah.
Foreshadowing the story we might have.
Murder by spouse. Very common on cruises. I mean, these days with DNA.
There's cameras everywhere.
Ring cameras. There's just no getting away with murder unless you do it in a small town where nobody ever gets murdered.
Hyattsville, Maryland is like
out of the place.
Well, no. That's where the woman did. That wasn't far from University of Maryland, but it was between University of Maryland and DC. Yeah. So like it's very heavily populated.
Right. Yeah. It's not a good, I mean, this
wouldn't imagine there's a ton of ring cameras there.
Yeah,
you can picture the neighborhood, but
do we know if this is a crazy woman or I need to still keep collecting her social security murder?
I have to think it's a totally normal woman who dismembered and grilled her 71-year-old mother. No craziness for sure.
Like, look, I'm not fucking Jack the Ripper over here. Like, I have
a lot of work.
I have no medical training. Like, I have a hard time. Sometimes if I buy the whole chicken and I go to cut up the whole chicken, I can't figure out how to get the shoulder off the breast. You know, you got to get the knife like right there in the right spot and kind of pop it off. That's a difficult cut for me. Now multiply that times the size of a human being. Impossible. There's tendons. There's ligaments. Don't even get me going on the organs. That's a fucking big old pile of mess. The organs, especially with the modern American diet, they're covered in fat, your organs.
I don't know the exact, but I know it's over 200, like the low 200s in bones.
Yeah, it is. It's like 2-something,
205.
Well, because,
it's a lot to get through. There's bones everywhere, and like you said, tendons. Yeah. And you need a healthy set of saws and knives. She was working on this for a long time. Yeah.
No, it's a lot, and it's It's like, if you're thinking about it that much, like, there's got to be an easier way. There's always an easier way.
She's grilling. Okay. Upon arrival at the home, police said the 44-year-old Candace Craig, the daughter of Margaret Craig, R.I.P.
The Craigs.
She opened the door. She allowed officers access to them. Oh, sure. Yeah, come in.
Come on in.
And they immediately noticed the smell of decomposition in the basement.
I mean, this is what happens at the end of Silence of the Lambs. He lets her right in. Hey, come on in. He tries to play it off. Well, sure, big old fat person. Lets her right in, and she sees that some of the telltale signs. She knows what's up.
So much work. Police said they found a cover to the chainsaw, cutting utensils, cleaning materials, blood spatter throughout the basement. Hey, listen, anyone who's watched an episode of Dexter knows there's a lot of blood spatter everywhere.
9 pints or something. You're getting blood everywhere. And these days, they can find the fucking head of a pin with that light situation that they do. They'll know where the blood is.
Yeah. The Craig family really just didn't have the relationships that you really need to do to Very survive.
Very sad. Very sad. So, you know, a couple weeks ago, I mentioned on the show how one of my fitness gurus on Instagram, Dr. Jim Stepani, we're talking about gummy bears. And I was saying how he recommends a handful of gummy bears after your workout. And I don't know the fucking science of it. It's something about the dextrose. Like, you need to jack your insulin because you just worked out to feed your muscles. And I was saying,
that's really good because this week I've been having handfuls of gummy bears after each workout. Maybe perhaps too many handfuls.
Yeah. So I was away and I get back today and I got a box to my office. I open it up and this Super Lee has sent a pillowcase.
Putting the capital S in Super Lee.
Yeah. A pillowcase size bag.
5 pounds of gummy bears.
And you know what?
So many.
What I'm good at, Ed, is I'm good at not starting. So if we go, oh, hey, do you want to go to the ball game? And I go, yeah, but I've just been drinking a lot lately, so I'll go to the game, but I'm not going to drink. And if I make that declaration, then it's pretty easy for me to not drink. But if I go in wishy-washy and I go, I might have a beer, and I end up having one, then I'm having four.
The floodgates have opened.
Always. And so I was going to go to the gym today, but I got kind of busy. So I go, how soft can these gummy bears actually be? You know?
And they're upstairs. What's the brand? I don't
Albanese. Know, but Albanese. Oh my
God, these things are good. To like 12 flavors.
Yeah, they're so good.
They're so good.
They're so good, and they're so soft.
So soft.
They're so soft. So I go, oh, I'll just have a few. I end up having like 5 handfuls over the course of the day. They're too good.
I know people think they know what 5 pounds of gummy bears are, but you don't. It's so many. I can't even imagine the number of gummy bears in that pillowcase.
It was such. I didn't know it was 5 pounds. It was such a heavy bag. I was like, what is this? Like a pound? What is this? Like 10 pounds? Like I couldn't do the math on it. I had to actually read the label.
Yeah, I just read the label. I can't tell either. But it's when you get a bag of regular gummy bears, it's just some ounces, some ounces.
Yeah.
I don't know, 4, 6. This is 5 pounds. Yeah. It's crazy how many gummy bears there
are. It's so many gummy bears, and they're so good. And I didn't know I didn't know this existed.
I'm just grazing.
Same.
I just keep on grazing these gummy bears.
Same. I got to get my kids. Oh, my kids aren't here. I got to get my kids over here to eat some of these gummy bears so I don't have to eat them. I'm going to go to the gym tomorrow, but I'm specifically going to only have with me exactly enough to have like 10 gummy bears after my lifting session. So that also,
and your guru tells me that I'm allowed to just eat after a workout, eat some gummy bears.
That's what he says. Yeah. He said, that's the only time you want to raise your insulin levels is right when you've worked all your muscles and they're, you know, I don't know. I just don't ask me the details, but then
Lee is amazing.
He's the best. But then that reminded me of what on our Cobra review, a thing that Zach Xavier said about fucking eating ice cream, an ice cream hack. Ice cream topped with a fruit roll-up.
That I still struggle with comprehending.
Same. I totally agree with you, but I'm kind of intrigued. Kind of thinking about trying it. There was a time when Caleb, our dear friend Caleb from Western Kabuki, came on this show. Mm-hmm. And he said, if you're in a pinch, don't sleep on ordering a pizza from 7-Eleven. DoorDash. And you know what?
Yeah.
I did it.
No.
I did it. And it wasn't bad. It wasn't like as good as a real pizza, but it was way better than any kind of freezer pizza. It was like, it was like in between that. Yeah, it was not bad. It was like $7. Although with the delivery charges, it somehow came out to $47. So I'm not above it, but it's a lot. You're like, do I have to go transact these things? Like, it's hard.
I'm not above anything. But I do worry that every food in 7-Eleven seems to be sitting there for 8 years.
I know.
That's the only thing I'm like.
Yeah. It's like, if only there's a trick that you get them to bake a fresh one.
Like, if you know somebody who works there and they're like,
throw one in for me.
Tuesday nights at 6:00. That's always when, you know how they'll say like, oh, that's the time you always order.
I mean, it's probably just like anything. You could call ahead and be like, hey, Sev, en route, this is Brian. Throw a pizza in for me. I'm going to come get it. They'll probably do that. They'll probably make you a fresh one if you want.
I would say it depends, because the 7-Eleven by me, I don't get that vibe that they're willing to help.
Do they have phones?
They probably have phones, but they don't seem like they're super friendly about it. Like, I'll go in there occasionally to get like a Gatorade for my son when he's headed to a game. It's like near where he plays soccer. And they never seem
not super friendly. You know,
it feels like you've seen those like movies where somebody's had a lobotomy and it like feels like kind of that. Like, they can process your order, but not much else.
7-Eleven isn't as prolific as it was back in the day. I mean, they used to be on every corner.
Everywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm reminded of a story. So one time, I'm probably about 15 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And me and a couple buddies, we're out front of a 7-Eleven. We're trying to get somebody to buy us some beer. And these unscrupulous looking gentlemen come up, and my buddy Zach, who's no longer with us, R.I.P. Zach.
R.I.P. Zach.
Yeah, my buddy Zach, he hits him up, and he's like, hey, can you get us a case? It was probably MGD. Also, this was back in the day of suitcases, where you could get a 24-pack. Now there's 18, and sometimes there's 30, but that's more of a grocery store item. Yeah, this was the 24-pack days, a suitcase. So he's like, hey, can you get us a suitcase? Might have been Bud Dry. This could have been a Bud Dry era. And there was
a high point for dry beers.
Yeah, there was. And these somewhat unscrupulous looking adult men were like, yeah, no problem. So we give them the money, and then they come back out. And this should have been a tell, but we were 15 and this was a 7-Eleven. They come back out, and I had not thought about this in a long time. They come back out and they go, actually, we need more money. And we're like, and I don't know how we had it, but we did. We're like, okay, yeah. Here's some more money. And then about 8 seconds later, they walk in and they turn around and they walk out and they walk past us and they jump in a waiting getaway car. Like, one of the girlfriend was waiting outside for them.
Oh.
And they take off with their money. At which point Zach, who was not a pussy, took his skateboard and threw it through the rear windshield of their vehicle.
And he connected.
He connected. It didn't quite go.
Atta boy, Zach.
Yeah, it didn't quite go. Well, hold on.
It didn't go through the rear windshield, but like the one wheel and part of the truck like smashed through it, and then it fell to the ground. It was broken. I mean, he fucked it up good. So you're like, oh, well, that'll be that. Except then the guys got out, and the lady driver must have popped the trunk for him, because they ran around to the back of the vehicle, and I don't know why they needed these items, because they were full grown adult men who had clearly done time in prison and were probably on PCP. They reached into the trunk, and one of them grabbed a crowbar.
Whoa.
And the other one grabbed a hammer. They chased us, and they weren't really looking towards me or my other buddy. I believe it was my buddy Spence. He can attest to this. He's still with us.
Yeah.
They were going straight for Zach.
He also ate your semen in the... Right? Didn't you guys all play Come on a Cracker or something? In the foods classroom?
No. That was saliva. That was a saliva situation. Wow. And that was my buddy.
Wait a few more years. We'll get the truth.
It was not. There's no semen involved. How are you going to jerk off in home ec? They chased. This is how I'm getting back to 7-Eleven. They chased him inside. He ran back into the 7-Eleven and leapt behind the counter.
Wow.
While these guys chased him around with a hammer and a crowbar. Somehow he was able to escape. I was long gone by that point. I met up with him later. But that's how
hammer
ubiquitous.
And crowbar.
Yeah.
Is this the Manson family you
Yeah. And they were, and look, they didn't need weapons. Zach was about 5'1". Like, it was like he was easily defeatable by two grown adult men. But I guess he showed his bona fides with that skateboard through the back windshield. It was a night. Yeah, it was a night. Okay, let's talk about who died.
Wait.
Yes?
I see on your...
there's notes. One more thing I want to discuss.
You want to add that to the beginning of sports?
Yeah. Okay. We could talk about it. Yeah.
Okay.
Let's talk about who died. Just tell us who was dead now. Just tell us who was dead now. Who died?
It's a sad segment.
Very sad.
Very sad.
And it will not be an update on who's alive. Instead, a tragic update.
Tragic.
Cuz and Daily has been keeping up on who just died.
Yep.
Cuz we're not going to hear from any of the celebrities are dead. So tell me who died. Who died? Tell me who died. Who died?
Ed, who died this week?
Well, I got a late breaker.
Oh.
This afternoon, right after I hit send, I saw this pop up. This was someone that was confused with a football player with the same name in the same town. Remember the old Giants manager, Roger Craig?
Oh, yeah. Roger Craig and the San Francisco 49er running back, Hall of Famer. Yeah. Roger Craig.
I don't know if he's a Hall of Famer, but 1,000 yards receiving and rushing the same season. Yep. That was like a big deal. But Roger Craig, if you told me that he never got to sweat out Y2K, I would have believed you.
Of course. Like,
he was the manager during the 89 Quake World Series.
Yes, he was. He was.
And he looked like not good.
Yeah.
But he died at 93. Just today or yesterday.
So, look, and I don't want my dear friend G Fish to be able to make fun of me, but now it's 2023. 1988, that was 35 years ago. So that means if he was 93 as of 2 days ago, 93 less 35.
58.
Wow. So younger than Brad Pitt is right now. Younger than George Clooney.
If you look at an 89 tops Roger Craig, and you're like, oh yeah, he totally looks younger than
younger than Tom Cruise. Yeah.
George Clooney.
Yeah. Roger Craig. I mean, I was a big this is, you know, the height of my Dodger fandom. And I really hated his guts. And it would bother me because he was the manager of the Giants. It would bother me that he was, they would always mention how he was a former Dodger. He'd played for the Dodgers and was now managing the Giants. And I just thought that was sacrilege.
He won 3 or 4
yeah.
World Series.
Yeah.
Something like like a lot.
Could be. The other Roger Craig, he's still with us, 62 years old, Davenport, Iowa, San Francisco 49ers.
He was great.
73 career touchdowns. It was the original.
At the same time.
Yeah. It was the original West Coast offense. Yeah. That is weird. Yeah. Save some first names for the rest of us, guys. Roger Craig's. It's always a little weird.
I like anytime like you hear two guys with the same last name and they're like, no relation. Yeah. And one guy's white and one guy's black. Yeah. And you're like, yeah, I got it.
Yeah. That is like always fun.
Or Johnson & Johnson, right?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
We lost. I feel like this happens to us a lot. This is the curse of our show.
Yeah. We were talking about Ike.
Two things. Yeah. When we talk about someone, they're on the clock. But when we do, like, we have to take a week off and we just load a movie episode in there. So we're not current for that week. We lost a massive person, Tina Turner. Yeah. We had been talking about Ike. We took a week off, and she died like 2 days after that.
Yeah, didn't see that one coming. I mean, 83, good long life. I mean, what a fucking legend.
Legend. I feel like I read last year she's not making public appearances anymore. Yeah. Like, she was not doing well.
Yeah.
But just a ridiculous talent. And
ridiculous.
Like, when she had that second moment when we were kids, she was like very seasoned.
Yeah, she was. Yeah, she was.
If she's 83. This was like 40 years ago. Yeah. When I
thought about that. She was considered very old. They're like, oh, can you believe it? She still has those great legs. She was like 43.
She was 43, but like she got famous with Ike, like rolling on rivers. She was like 19.
Yeah.
That was a long time between hits. And then she was massive for a few years in the 80s.
Huge. Oh yeah. Huge. She did that, that Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome.
Right.
You know,
she was another hero.
Yeah. She was acting. She was fucking selling records. She was selling a lot of records.
Yeah.
She one time had a chance to visit the city of Zurich, Switzerland, and I did the architectural boat tour, and they pointed out her home. She lived there on the lake in Zurich, Switzerland, as does Phil Collins, who is, if you've seen him lately.
Yeah, he can't be far behind.
No, he's there might be something in the water in Lake Zurich.
Mm. We also lost Marlene Clark, Lamont's girlfriend on Sanford and Son, 85. If you look at old pictures of her, she was quite a talented young lady.
Let's have a look here. Oh,
Marlene.
Lamont. Lamont was doing
her. I'm pretty sure Lamont's no longer with us because I think he was living a pretty fast lifestyle in the Sanford and Sons days in the 70s.
He was probably making like $2,000 a week back then, and that was some fucking money.
And I think he was snorting $2,000 a week.
You sent me that thing, and actually a couple other people sent me a TikTok of that told you the skipper was like 41.
76.
Oh, Lamont's still alive?
Damon Wilson, he definitely like found God and like cleaned up because he was, I remember all I read was like he was out of his mind on Sanford and Son.
This Marlene Clark, beautiful skin, RIP. And Fred Sanford, I mean, he's long dead, but he was like in his late 40s when he was on that show. When he was playing an old-ass man, you're like, of course he's dead. It's I don't have a DVR anymore, so I'd have to go looking for it. But when I did have a DVR, I would just record like random old shows like that, like Sanford and Son. I would throw it on as I was going to bed, and just really, I couldn't recommend anything more. It's like just so delightful.
It was fun. Like he was abusive in a fun way.
Yeah, it's great.
This is just for me. My RP Mike Young, mid 80s Orioles outfielder, 63 years old. What I remember about him, he reminds me of an era. Do you remember, like, there have been when guys were juicing, and then there were a couple juice ball years where everybody was hitting homers. In 1987, this dude, like, out of nowhere hit like 30, and everybody's like, what? Who's he? But there are some eras, and then Major League Baseball, even like I think like 3 years ago or 2 years ago, and like Major League Baseball refuses to acknowledge that like they fuck with the ball.
Oh yeah,
but every once in a while they do it. They fuck with the ball, and like every ball is a home run.
They move it to they go, oh, we got a new factory where they're being made in a different place. I don't remember this guy, Mike Young.
You probably wouldn't unless you are a big fan of the Orioles in the 80s. Like he probably had like 3 years that were good or maybe two.
Yeah.
But one of them was the juice ball era. And it was like, oh my God, this guy's bombing it.
Yeah. 28 home runs, 1985. I do remember his name, Brady from UCI, center fielder, Brady.
Anderson. And I think I've pointed this out on the show, but I remember when like Sports Illustrated did a profile on him in the middle of that 50 home run season. Yeah. They're like, how do you do it? And he goes, you know, I just learned how to hit power. Yeah. This offseason I spent with Barry Bonds and he taught me how to wait on your pitches and swing a little faster. Yeah. And it's like, oh, that's what Barry Bonds taught you?
Literally the only power season Brady Anderson had, although according to a departed former personality on this show, Brady Anderson was swinging a big bat everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Big one.
RIP Norma Hunt, the Lamar matriarch of the Chiefs family, 85 years old. So she was famous for marrying rich dude.
Yeah, being rich. Being rich, owning the Chiefs. Good for them.
RIP Sergio Calderon, character actor from Men in Black, Pirates of the Caribbean, 77 years old. You've seen him in something.
Yeah.
Just a character actor.
Yeah. It's always sad to see those guys go. Although a lot of times, like when we're reviewing, The Last Dragon, we assume that these character actors have passed long before they actually have. And they're actually just still alive and fine. Oh yeah. This guy. Yeah. He looks like an old Spanish guy. Yep.
Yeah. He's just been in stuff. He was in that Tower Heist with Ben Stiller and Eddie Murphy. He's been in stuff.
Did a stint on the A-Team, classic.
Yeah.
R.I.P. Okay, let's talk some sports.
My name is Brian.
They call me the other guy.
I host a podcast show. I'll give hetero life a try. If you see something on my hand that makes you think I'm not a man, it's just my cool rings, you see. They're as sparkly as can be. I might own joy on DVD.
Yeah, before we jump into this, and I think it might have been our dear friend Maddie LeBrant, the one in Canada who fucked you on that book plate that one time with the shipping. Good guy.
Great guy.
I think he might have sent me this. Lewis Hamilton is, you know, it's like, look, he came for Rihanna, and I did not say anything. And then he came for some other models that, you know, I was vaguely familiar with that were very hot, and there were others, and you know, and then finally he came for Shakira, and there was no one left to speak because I didn't talk the first time, and Shakira's ours, Ed. I don't want Lewis Hamilton to get our Shakira. This guy, and here's the thing,
it's better than Tom Cruise.
But Shakira's, she's worldly, Ed. Like, she's not. She doesn't need Tom Cruise. She wants a real man.
But at the same time,
yeah,
if you're worldly, yeah, you give a shit way more about F1.
Yeah, and I believe they were in Spain this weekend, where despite her tax woes,
I'm looking at the Google image search. Like, he's a good looking dude.
No, he's handsome.
He might be tiny, but he's a good looking dude.
No, he's handsome and he's rich and he's successful. Now, here's the thing. They, I think they're in season. So, because she's was at the race. Now, he's not, he doesn't dominate anymore because they leveled the playing field. So, he, when Mercedes, when there was no salary cap, so to speak, spending cap for the teams, Mercedes dominated and he won like seven or eight in a row, something like that. Now he's just a really good driver. He's not, I don't think he dominates the circuit anymore. I believe that's Max Verstappen, who has no trouble seeing predators. He's like, hey, somebody's come. I don't even just take the, we don't take the rear view mirrors off the car. I don't need those to see either side of me. I got that with my eyes, how they are. So I wonder, now that he's not really like fighting for a championship, does that mean he's fucking even more?
I would think so. Yeah. He doesn't have to be as locked in.
Yeah. God damn. Look, I'm only mad at him because I'm very jealous that he's apparently getting to sex Shakira.
I'm jealous, but if you, while we were talking about it, just Google, just remind myself. Shakira's Ed. So she's married. She's dating Lewis Hamilton.
Apparently.
Good looking, successful dude.
Rich. Yep.
And Gerard Piquet. He just like, he did a big downgrade.
He took the L.
He took a big L.
Yeah. Took a big L. Look at, they're like, she's got like a little sundress on. This is, must be after the race. You know, he's right there. They're drinking. It looks like they got margaritas going or some kind of delicious cocktail. Like, she is primed. Mm. I wonder if our buddy Pete and Pocatello's got any insight on that. I don't really follow F1, but they're showing, there's TMZ's got like arrows drawn with his arm around her and stuff. Oh my god, very jealous.
It makes sense that
it does. That, yeah,
a worldly lady like her might fall into the F1 circuit.
Mm. Mm. Oh, it looks like they went boating. Good for her. Good for him.
Good for all of them.
Yeah.
Scottie Pippen, you know, we've done some stories where he's kind of mouthing off a little bit about Jordan.
Yeah.
Now on a podcast, he said Michael Jordan was a horrible player and horrible to play with.
So
now, I think one of those things probably was true.
Yeah. I mean, here's the problem. Or here's, this has to be very conflicting for you, because you hate Scottie Pippen's guts, but you also hate Michael Jordan's guts.
No, but I have never, ever said Michael Jordan was anything less than phenomenal.
Yeah.
My issue is Scottie Pippen, way overrated. But but Michael Jordan, from everything I have read and heard, like, Michael Jordan was a pretty shitty guy to his teammates.
Oh, yeah.
Like, really mean to his teammates.
Punched Steve Kerr in the face.
But so the horrible to play with, I could believe that.
Oh, yeah.
But it's one thing to not like someone, to say he's a horrible player. Come like, on. Now you just sound like a complete pathetic clown.
Remember that game one in against Portland in the 92 finals when
with
he
that
had
fucking annoying shrugging thing? Fuck out of here. Just make your shots and go down the course.
He had like 36 points in the first half, and he was like, I don't know why I'm so good. He had to like shrug to the camera.
Yeah, I know.
However, speaking on his former Bulls teammate Stacey King's podcast, Gimme the Hot Sauce. Who's listening to Stacey King's Gimme the Hot Sauce? How come I gotta beg for $5 a month when Stacey King's doing Gimme the Hot Sauce?
Stacey King was the man on the Oklahoma team that lost to Danny Manning in the 88 finals from Kansas.
Danny Manning, people will just, because he got hurt, and he still had a great NBA career.
But like 6 games into his Clippers career. That was the curse of the Clippers.
Yeah.
He got drafted by the Clippers and was like, oh, sorry.
He was like that first guy that was 6'10" with handles and a jump shot and just like a just t- take t- took the game to another level because there just weren't guys that big that could move like that.
And he won the national title with like a bunch of tomato cans. He did. Like it was just him.
Yeah. No, the guy was great. I've seen Michael Jordan play before I came to the Bulls. You guys have seen him play. He was horrible to play with. It was all one-on-one, shooting bad shots. All of a sudden, we become a team, and we start winning. Everybody forgot who he was. He was a player who was really not at the top of his category. It was scoring. Look, this Michael Jordan made – I don't understand what – Michael Jordan made Scottie Pippen rich. Like you gotta respect the guys that make you rich.
He was so good. Yeah. He made two players make the NBA All 50
top 50
when only one of them was NBA All 50.
That's right. Yeah.
Scottie Pippen was.
Yeah.
He would be just a fucking role player on a bunch of other teams.
Good defender. Right. You know, pretty good in the open floor because he's 6'7" and could dribble, but. When you got Michael Jordan getting doubled on the other side all the time, you know, there's a lot of open space in there. And
nobody's clamoring for Chuck Person to be on the All-NBA all-time team. Chuck Person was a better player than Scottie Pippen.
Oh, there you go. The Rifleman?
The Rifleman. The
Rifleman could knock him down. I'll give you that. What else is going on, Ed?
The NBA. Oh, no, sorry. Lakers.
Yeah.
Because it looks like Lonzo Ball's career might be
done.
Toast.
Done.
And the Lakers blame Lonzo Ball's big baller brand. What's this at? Lamar?
No.
Those sneakers.
Oh, yeah. What's his dad's name? Oh, he had that too.
Lamar Ball?
No. Lonzo Legarius. Lorenzo. Who's the guy? The one guy's really good. The guy on the Bobcats, the Hornets.
LaVar's
the dad. Yep, he got that tooth.
Yeah. LaMelo is a good player, but Lonzo is like, and still had a pretty good, like
he was nice
career, like a few years. Yep. But like, his career, like the injuries have already piled up, and they blame his big baller brand sneakers for his injuries. Like
now,
he tried to have his own brand right away because his dad was so mouthy in the beginning.
Yeah, he said. That he would, even in games, he would have, he said, no one knows this, but Demo had a backpack. That was like his guy. And he had like an extra four pairs of shoes in there because I had to switch them every quarter because they would just rip. I'm like, yo, I'm not playing in them shoes. Like, I don't care, bro, Ball added. Because they're my shoes. I had to debut them. We went so far with it. Like, I'm like, cool. I can get a quarter in, but that's it. We got to switch them up every quarter and nobody noticed. And by the end of that quarter, they were beat up. Now, I'm not denying that they were bullshit shoes, but the mailman went to the Hall of Fame playing in LA Gears. You know, like
I forgot about LA Gears.
Yeah, he rocked those LA Gears. And, you know, he'd pick and roll you all night. He was, I know you classify him as a stat compiler, and you're not wrong.
He was a compiler, for sure.
Yeah, he got 30 and 10 every single night of his career.
He did.
The third leading scorer of all time.
Games.
Yeah, and he impregnated a 13-year-old. there is a, you remember Martina Hingis?
Oh, sure.
Her career ended early, and she blamed her shoe contract also. I believe she was with Kepa.
I remember Kepa.
I think she sued them because they fucked up her feet.
Didn't she one time, like, it was like a random tournament and be like, you tested positive for cocaine?
Oh, she might. Wait.
There was something weird.
Hold on.
I
was
like, wow, I didn't.
Now I need to know. Martina Hingis shoes. Yes. Hingis,
cocaine adultery tarnished tennis star Martina Hingis.
But they all did coke.
She was like really young.
Yeah, she was. But they were all young back then. Okay, hold on. Defective shoes. Oh my god, now this link won't open. They don't want me to know. I just want to know who Italian shoemaker. It's not Sergio Tacchini, is it? He makes my sweatsuits. Wait. It is.
Wow.
Oh my God. I mean, he makes fire sweatsuits unless certain people take a picture of me and then where I look bad. Other than that. But yeah, I don't know if she got money over this. I think she did. Yes. Yeah, Sergio Tacchini, my guy. Tennis
what
star.
What kind of bullshit is this? She tested positive for cocaine in 07. She retired in 02. Why are they testing her?
I know. That's so fucked up. That's so. And look, let him live. She's European. They're all doing cocaine. Yak over there.
Cocaine's not helping you in tennis.
Yeah, no, it's making you worse. And they were all doing it. You think Guillermo Vilander? Yes.
Matt Vilander?
Oh, yes. Stefan Edberg?
Bobo? Boris Becker?
Yeah. Oh, come on. Hingis was forced to withdraw from several tournaments because Tacchini outfitted her with defective shoes unsuitable for competition. While competing in the U.S. Open, Hingis suffered a debilitating foot injury. Oh, I bet she got some fucked up looking feet, Ed. Say, papers filed in court.
She looks like those after pictures of foot binding in Japan.
Yeah. Yes. Hingis had her feet examined by a Manhattan doctor who confirmed that the injury was a chronic one and was being caused by the tennis shoes manufactured by Sergio Tacchini. Wow.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, it doesn't say, this is a while ago, it doesn't say, it probably settled out of court, but I bet she got paid.
I had another cocaine.
Yeah.
How about Jennifer Capriati when she's hanging out with the porn star?
Dale DeBone? We're talking Dale DeBone again? Because I'll talk Dale DeBone anytime you want.
Dale DeBone definitely had cocaine.
Oh, Dale DeBone. You know, 100%, there's zero chance that Jennifer Capriati has not done cocaine off Dale DeBone's DeBone.
DeBone.
100%. 100%. She has snorted yay off his DeBall sack. Guarantee you.
I think we do some sad stories. And this is one of the saddest. NBA is investigating referee Eric Lewis after discovering a Twitter burner account that only seems to defend him.
That is so pathetic.
Hey, I wonder if this is fake. Because there's somebody defending a referee. I don't know. I think Eric Lewis really got that game right.
It's like he probably had one follower and it was Bill Simmons. Like that's the only person I could imagine like being really interested in the ratings of the referees. Like that was a real Eric Allen game. What? And we know, look, if you got to listen to that, the Tim Donaghy, they say it both ways,
the podcast.
Yeah. Because he makes a pretty good point for stuff we already know, whether it's the Jordan rules or just regular star treatment. He just says it was mandated. And, you know, the league denies that. But it seems pretty fucking obvious that the star treatment is mandated by the league. And why wouldn't it be? Like this David Stern, he took the league from being on pay-per-view tape delay to having it be the biggest sport in the country by marketing the stars. You're not going to want to take the stars out of the games. You want to keep the stars around.
This burner account, I'm watching, I'm reading it. Yeah. So like they announced the refs for the, I guess this is Lakers Nuggets.
Yeah.
And then somebody tweeted, Lakers being swept, but at least there's no Eric Lewis. And he immediately replied, don't think he was ever the problem.
I love this guy. He's my new favorite ref. I love Eric Lewis.
How can you be the GOAT when you're 0-2 while reffed by Eric Lewis? How is Eric Lewis not in the GOAT combo? And he replied, so you believe anything? Bro, that's not a real stat.
Eric Lewis is the GOAT of referees. That is so fucking good. I love that. Now I'm going to follow Eric Lewis's burner account because he's my new favorite ref.
Oh, man. Eric Lewis.
Yeah.
The account in question is Blair Cutliffe. I got that one, but good for you, Eric.
They're definitely going to learn like Blair was his dog's name and Cutliffe is the street that he grew up on.
His porn star name.
Yeah.
unfortunately, the great announcer, Mike Breen, had a house fire, and he said his wife's his wife salvaged an autographed jersey by Kobe from a house fire, and he considers it one of his prized possessions.
Honey, I got some bad news. While you were on that road trip to Indiana, the whole fucking house burned down. They think it was electrical. It might have been the Christmas tree. And sadly, we've lost all our family heirlooms and photos and artworks.
I know some pictures of your grandparents as they immigrated.
Yes. But don't worry. I was able to save your special rapist memorabilia.
Silver lining. So I got an autographed towel from Vail that I...
is this like dudes that collect Nazi artifacts? You know, sometimes I take my chick to the
he's like the neighbor in American Beauty.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, Chris Cooper. Sometimes I take my chick to the flea market, and there'll be dudes set up with like a lot of like World War II shit there.
Like SS stuff.
Yes, like hats and helmets and shit. And she'll be like wanting to like confront them about it, and I'm like, no. They're just collectors.
No, and not only are they just collectors, they've got an itchy trigger finger.
Yeah, they do. They do. Yes.
You're never sure when you're going to read about a shooting.
That's right. That's right.
Swap meet type situation.
They seem to collect the losing side much more than the winning, as often evidenced with the war of Northern aggression. It's just a lot of that. If the Northern memorabilia is just not as valuable as the Southern.
No, yeah. It's better to support the traitors who were anti-USA.
They're going to rise again.
An East Carolina pitcher was ejected for giving his teammate a sandwich during a home run celebration.
This is fucking amazing because the ump. Hold on, I'll play it.
It's a great celebration.
Yeah, I'm going to play it here. I'm going to play it and then I'll play by play it for you. Here we go. Oh, wait, hold on. This never works the first time. Anybody has ever listened to the show. It's much like dropping of the pen. Takes a couple tries.
At 0-2. Gets into one, a deep left field. If it's fair, it is gone. And this one is fair.
I mean, it's fair and it's gone by
just
about
like that,
10
it's
rows.
A one-run ball game. Starling's night homer, 40th RBI of the year.
Well, this lineup is tough to strike out, and Siebert gets ahead 0-2.
So he comes around.
It was a pretty good pitch with a breaking ball, but Starling's
a lot of fans there.
Not a lot, and it's in the South, so you figure it'd be more crowded. But there's about 30 people in the stands. It's a big stadium, too, East Carolina. They're kind of a baseball powerhouse, I think.
I would think so.
Yeah, and he comes around.
He's expecting it.
His whole team's there.
He puts it right into the jet.
You'd have to really be looking. But what... One of the guys on his team hands him a hot dog.
The headline said sandwich.
Yeah.
A hot dog is not a sandwich.
A hot dog is definitely not a sandwich.
It's a hot dog.
It's a hot dog. A hot dog, not a sandwich. And anybody that's telling you a hot dog is a sandwich has an agenda.
Right.
You take the bun.
Throw a hot dog on the ground.
Yeah.
Also throw a few pieces of turkey on the ground.
Yes.
And then say, what's on the ground?
Yes.
And they'll say, that's a hot dog. And that's a few pieces of turkey.
Exactly right. Exactly right. But this umpire, he was really, what was the other guy's name? He was really Eric Lewis in it. Because you had to be looking for this. Even I had to watch the video a couple times. It wasn't like they did it at home plate.
When I read the headline, I thought there was a guy like as he's rounding third, hands him a sandwich, and he like finishes home with a BLT in his mouth. It's during the greeting line.
Yeah, I thought he would cross home plate and somebody'd have a big old Dagwood there for him. But you have to really be watching. He runs down the handshake line, and one of his buddies gives him a fucking hot dog. And the ump must have known that this is something they do because he was looking for it and he tossed him right away. What a bitch.
Such a bitch move.
Embarrassing.
There's a Twitter account that says, in fact, he wasn't a bitch. It was a good move. Right. Oh. Is it his burner account?
Oh. Exactly. Yes. I bet you there are some college umpires that have burner accounts.
If you're going to have a burner account.
Yeah.
Like. I think even Durant tried to sprinkle in some other tweets.
Yeah.
This guy, his only responses were just defending Eric Lewis.
The best is that the burner account people always accidentally eventually tweet something for their burner account from their regular account or vice versa. And then they end up getting caught.
Patty LaBelle's son. Remember when there was a controversy where there was some like politician with a gay relationship, and then there was a burner account defending him, and then somehow Patty LaBelle's son got involved, and I was like, what?
Well, he was like, I sucked your dick. Like, he was like, he put it on Front Street.
He's like Aaron Hernandez's the high school
his roommate,
quarterback. We were totally just sucking each other's dick. Yeah.
What do you mean you're surprised he was gay, Dad? We're fucking in the back bedroom.
What do you think we did every day after school?
That's really good.
Detroit Tigers reporter Johnny Cane went into the crowd at a Royals game, and he got super bent out of shape when a Royals fan cursed during a live segment.
Hold on. We might have audio of this too. Also, I'm surprised this doesn't happen more. Honestly.
Of course.
In Major League Baseball, opened back in 1973, but it might become one of the baseball cathedrals that finds itself a victim of the curse.
Look.
Hang on, fellas. Sorry for that, man. Sorry about that.
Well, you could just ignore it.
Doggone it.
Just keep talking.
Here, Shep, so we apologize for the language you guys heard there at home, but.
Oh, he's out. I thought he was in the booth. He's out. He's like the sideline reporter.
He's like a man in the crowd.
That makes it even more funny.
He's all bummed out.
I was just mentioning that the team may be moving itself, maybe moving the ballpark.
He's all flustered.
He's flustered.
Downtown. So we're located out here in Raytown, which is like in the Truman Sports Complex.
Oh, who gives
right
a fuck?
Next to Arrowhead Stadium. So I used to cover this team, obviously, for parts of 9 seasons. And I'll be honest, there's not a ton to do in the surrounding areas right here by the ballpark. But, you know, you come here, it's a destination. It's where you come.
I want to see if I was hoping they would point out who the guy was who said, fuck Javi Baez and fuck Detroit. Look, he's not wrong. Fuck Javi Baez. Guys hit a lot of fucking home runs against the Dodgers in his career before he moved on to Detroit. So, you know, look, every night the Dodgers postgame show is like they have a set behind the bleachers in the pavilion there. And, you know, if the game finishes relatively early, there'll be a big crowd of drunks back there behind the set. I'm surprised there's not more like guys getting, you know, hot dogs thrown at him and stuff. It seems like that would happen every night.
That's like Knicks post game. They always have like this show with the back to the street of people spilling out of the stadium.
Yeah. Yep.
And there's always people like dry humping the windows behind them. Like that's just, it's what you expect.
It's great. It's so good.
Clayton Kershaw was not happy that the Dodgers reinvited the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence to the LGBTQIA+ night, citing that they make fun of his religion.
They do. It's, I mean, look, I love Clayton Kershaw. He's a great guy. And I think, and there were some other players that were a little more vocal about their snowflakiness over this. Like, I don't support. There's always going to be somebody that gets their feelings hurt when something like this happens. It just, if somebody's making fun of people whose crime is fucking kids, I just can't be that mad.
Right.
You know, like it's like they make fun of the Catholic Church. The Catholic Church is bad. They're bad people, and so it's not.
Fun of themselves by not. Like, there's no consequences for bad behavior, so now they have to own all of it.
Yeah, it's true.
It's like bad cops, right? If you just say, well, there's a few bad apples, but you don't do anything about it, then all cops get put in the same basket.
Yeah, totally.
Same with the fucking priest.
Totally, yeah, I totally agree. And it's, while I'm not offended by it, I still support my buddy Clayton and, you know, him sticking his guns there. Great guy.
Aaron Rodgers. We were talking about the Taylor Swift concert locally for me. Aaron Rodgers did a lot of singing and dancing at that concert with his buddy Miles Teller.
This is crazy.
And people filmed it.
This is just crazy. Remember, I think Miles Teller
Who's a double date with the beard like two beards ago?
Yes, they did. I believe Miles Teller was married or got married.
Oh, he's no longer?
No, he is. I meant it in the sense that he had been
it
he
happened got at that married. Time.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. At the time he was being married, Aaron Rodgers and the girl Shailene Woodley,
yes,
accompanied Miles Teller and his new bride on their honeymoon.
Hawaii?
Yeah, they were in Hawaii.
Okay, that's a totally normal thing to just.
They're like
take a random couple on a honeymoon with you.
Yeah, they were like jumping off waterfalls and going on hikes and going to luau.
I think this is when he was working on his Halloween costume.
It was.
I believe this was the era.
It was.
He was getting ready to be John Wick.
The grow out. Ah, man, has there ever been anything like? I'm not excited for anybody's Halloween costume. And if you're telling me you're getting ready to do something for Halloween and it's going to take you a year to get ready for it, I'm not interested, but I'm not interested. Like, I'm kind of like, wow, this must be spectacular.
I appreciate someone committing to a bit.
Totally. Yes.
But the bit's got to pay off.
Yes. Like, if you showed up, if you didn't tell me you were growing your hair out for a year to be something for Halloween, and then you showed up to my Halloween party dressed as John Wick, I would have to be like, so what are you? Like, I wouldn't recognize a John Wick costume just like right away. It's just a guy in a suit.
Think about what a sweetheart Keanu Reeves is, and he would probably be like, that's kind of lame.
It's real stupid. He's like, I get paid to dress up like that, weirdo. Yeah.
Well, he wants us to know.
Yeah, he definitely does.
Kenny Wallace quit Fox Sports because he despises airports. It's filth.
I love this. This is another jealousy situation. I love anybody that's rich enough that can just be like, no, fuck off. I don't want to travel. Like, I can live without it.
I'm with you. Like, yeah. I like that somebody can just say fuck off to anything. I do think we've all been in some bad airport experiences.
Oh, yeah.
But I do think seeing how people behave at airports is one of the more telling things about those people.
Yeah.
Oh, like if you understand certain things aren't out of your control or the gate agent or this or that, like there are some people who are chill and just matter of fact, like this is how it all goes. Yeah. There's some people who think that they are owed something.
Yeah.
And there are people who like can't deal with other people. It's like very telling about who you are.
Yeah, it is. And they're just like dirty. Like you could go on even a short flight somewhere. And once you get off the flight, you're kind of like, I could use a shower. Yeah, you got a shower after having traveled on the plane. You feel dirty. And then you go to a hotel room that's, you know, it's probably a nicer hotel. But still, it's like different hotels all the time. And
I get it. It's a grind and you can choose that. Yeah. But to say that airport filth is why you have to quit. It's like you're kind of just saying you don't want to do anything anymore.
Yeah, I'm done. Yeah, it's just not enough money. There's just not enough money to make him get on a plane. And that's a fucking probably a great feeling.
It's got to be a good feeling. Yeah. But I will also say, so does Kenny Wallace like never want to travel anywhere? Like he just wants to be in his home for the rest of time?
That's true. Yeah. Where's he going? Oh, here, this is interesting. So hey, this is a quote because he was on a podcast. I don't know if this was Stacey King's podcast. It probably was.
Yeah, I could see a real crossover between a NASCAR guy and a mid-90s Chicago Bull.
It says, so you're at the gate at the airport and you're waiting for your flight. Somebody nearby is watching a video and they do not have their headphones in and it's very loud. Everybody around you can hear it and everybody is looking at them. Are you supposed to ignore the noise? Do you move seats? Do you just put on headphones? Or do you say something to them? What are you supposed to do? Now hold on. This
Kenny Wallace.
Yeah.
Is that Kenny Wallace or Jerry Seinfeld?
Yes, exactly.
What's the deal with this video?
So this actually hits home right here, because he says, we were coming back from Cabo and it was packed around our gate. And this man is laying across all eight seats with no shoes on and crusty feet, nasty toes. I took a picture of him because I wanted to embarrass him. But I really like this as an issue. When I want to listen to something, I put the volume real low and I put it up to my ear, but it amazes me, the etiquette. So just this past Saturday, I was flying home from Cabo and I was at that airport and I was very hungover, Ed, and I scoped all the seats and I can tell you from experience that 90% of the seats have armrests, and they have the armrests set. And this is probably most airports. They have the armrests set so that they're so low that you can't lay down on the seats, because I was looking. And you you can't lay down on the seats under the armrests. Now, I did look around, and I found a couple spots where they didn't have the armrest seats. But maybe because I can't stoop to that level, I can't be like Kenny Wallace hates, I refrained from moving my dead body over to the where you could actually lay down if you wanted to. Plus, it's kind of gross to lay across a bunch of seats. I just slumped down in my one seat and waited for them to call my gate.
Right.
Yeah.
Former Wimbledon champ Garbiñe Muguruza. I've definitely never heard of this person before in my life. She just got engaged to a fan who asked for a selfie in NYC.
That's just great. First of all, who's going to recognize Garbiñe Muguruza?
This is a dude who is way into women's tennis, and he shot his shot.
There was a story. Oh, I can't remember the chick's name. She was like one of those tennis players that was more famous for being attractive. Jeannie Bouchard. Jeannie Bouchard had a similar situation a while back where a fan like asked her out on Twitter.
Wait a second.
Or something.
Jeannie is spelled like a genie.
Yeah, G-E-N-I-E. Yes, that's her. What? Yeah. Jeannie Bouchard. Yes. That's her. That's her. And she's not bad looking, but
she is attractive.
Yeah, I don't think hers went anywhere like this guy. And look how good looking this guy is. Look.
Yeah, he's a model. He's a model.
He's much more handsome than she is. Like, he's the better looking of the couple.
I've never heard of Garbiñe.
Me either. Muguruza. The Spanish Venezuelan.
He is beautiful. This
guy's so handsome. So it's not like he's some. No offense.
His agency is like, hey, she is on this corner. Go ask for a selfie.
Yes, this is. It's not like he was walking home from his shift driving the subway. You know, like he's like.
Right.
He's a Finnish model. Oh, wait. Yeah. He was. Oh, he's born in Spain, raised in Finland.
Yeah, but 100% good looking, no matter how it is.
No, the man's handsome. Good for that. Hot couple.
Mark Zuckerberg has been making a big deal out of his jiu-jitsu.
Yeah.
Well, he got knocked out cold in his first competition, and now he's disputing it. And you would think there's an easy way for him to dispute it, because everything he does is on camera.
That's right.
I'm not seeing any video of it happening.
He didn't have his Facebook glasses on, or what, his Meta. Now, did this happen in the metaverse, which I heard was going to be such a big deal?
Yeah, remember, like that was his in with Rogan when he was like, "Hey, you're posting lots of videos of you doing jiu-jitsu," and he's like, "Yeah, like that's my passion, that's my life." And then somebody tuned him the fuck.
Which is funny, because that's not something to be embarrassed about in jiu-jitsu. Like, guys will put you to sleep. Like, it's a fucking strangling sport. Like, eventually.
Yeah, but it's super funny for this.
Of course it is. I love it. Yes. What did we ever get to the bottom of him and his fucking grocery store barbecue sauce obsession?
It was like
Sweet but it was baby his Ray's. Idea
of a joke.
Yeah.
Like he's like, this is a little inside joke we all have because I love it, so I put it in every photo or something. Like he's not funny. He doesn't know what funny is.
Is his does his haircut also fit that description? Or the and oh, or the look about, on his face?
The white face when he put all the
zinc.
Like, hey, look, I have to put on sunscreen every day.
Yeah.
Like every day when I go for a bike ride, I've got to cover up.
Of course.
But the white zinc.
Yeah, it's great. That's great.
You're a man of the people.
After publishing our story, I heard from both Mark Zuckerberg and his coach. They both insisted that Mr. Zuckerberg had not lost consciousness, and the coach said that the referee had mistaken his effortful grunting for snores. Well, we just got to ask his opponent, but he probably already had him murdered.
Look, he absolutely, if there was anything, if there's any level of success, we would have seen it already.
Yeah.
He absolutely
of course.
Was put to sleep.
Yeah. And that's no big deal. Now, hold on. I just saw this ex-wrestler takes second DNA test to confirm he's not Lauren Boebert's father. Do we know about this? Is her father Terry Funk?
I did read a headline that wrestler confirms he's not her dad, but I didn't know which wrestler it was.
Is it somebody we've heard of? I hope so. Oh, it is. Wait, this guy looks familiar. Is it Mr. Perfect? Hold on a second. Former WWE star takes DNA test to prove he's not Lauren Boebert's dad. Oh, Stan Lane, jobber. I never heard of Stan Lane.
Wallace Stanfield Lane. Stan Lane. Oh, he's a color commentator, Continental Wrestling Association.
Ooh. Also, this appears to be a Tug McGraw situation because Lauren Boebert's mother is like, actually, your dad is Stan Lane. Which is like, just make up a different. You know, say like Lanny Poffo did it or something.
No. I got
Greg
bad
the Hammer
news.
Valentine. Yeah.
Just did a little Wikipedia deep dive.
Yeah.
And on that Stan Lane.
Yeah.
And it said he went to this high school. I clicked on it. Who's the most famous alumni? Okay. There's a couple. Where is this? This is in Greensboro, North Carolina.
Yeah. Okay.
So Danny Manning went there.
Oh, interesting.
Pretty good.
Yeah. Richard Petty.
Ken Jeong.
Oh, no. Oh. So no one funny attended that high school?
No, unless Danny Manning's funny.
Or Stan Lane. Now, this I don't follow this stuff very closely, and I know this Lauren Boebert, she's white trash and stuff. She's not bad looking. Like,
she's not bad looking. Yeah. She has fecal remnants for a brain. She's like super dumb.
Yeah. She's like from the meth part of Colorado, is my understanding.
Like quite possibly dumber than Marjorie Taylor Greene dumb. Like really dumb.
Yeah. This guy was in a tag team and I recognize the manager. It's the dude with glasses. He's in a lot of the wrestling, documentaries I watch. Pro wrestling. I can't read it all. It was the SFLB, the mullet era. Good looking guy, Stan Lane, not the father. Apparently they should have got Maury involved.
Oh yeah. That would be a good episode.
Yeah, totally.
And we just got another update. Just everybody, please be vigilant.
Yep.
Chiefsaholic remains at large months after skipping bail. We did this story at the Super Bowl, and we are in June.
Now, could this be? Listen, I remember back in the day, once a week on the news, they'd be like, the local child support agency conducted a sting operation where they offered free Raider tickets if you just showed up to the Coliseum, and they only sent them out to child people that were in arrears on their child support. And then when they showed up to get the free LA Raiders tickets, they would get handcuffed.
There was a great, there was a little 30 for 30 about that with Redskins.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
They nailed like 70 guys.
Yeah. They would do this. This was a regular thing they do in the '80s. What if, just hear me out. What if we talked earlier about the passing of Norma Hunt? What if she actually hasn't passed? And my apologies to the Hunt family if they're listening to this and not Stacey King's What's Burning podcast. If the Hunt family is listening, obviously I'm in no way am I making fun of the passing of your beloved matriarch, but it's say Norma Hunt.
You don't hear the name Norma too often.
Is that not her? Oh, you don't. You know, you definitely don't. It's a great name.
That was Marilyn Monroe's name.
Yes, Norma Jean. So what, just hear me out. What if Norma Hunt is actually just sequestered in one of her many mansions somewhere, and they're going to hold a big candlelight vigil for her, and then they're going to have a bunch of undercover cops with earpieces on.
Because he definitely would show up.
Of course he would. And they'd be like,
super fan.
They'd be like, look out for somebody walking around in a wolf costume. And he's like, no, I'm in disguise. They're not going to know that Xavier Bouberet's here, whatever his name is. I'm Chief Sahalik.
Isn't it odd that there's a wolf over there holding a candle?
Well, that can't be the real. No, that's his thinking. He's like, what's the last thing they expect? Me to show up as Chief Sahalik. So I'll just come as Chief Sahalik, and they'll think it's a different Chief Sahalik, and then I can pay my respects to the great Norma Hunt and the Hunt family. I think there might be. I think that might be
the way to do it.
I like that idea. Okay, let's do some voicemails.
He's so easy to hate. Your time he likes to waste. His calls are far from great. His calls are far from great. He's such a stupid fuck. He seems down on his luck. His voicemails really suck. His voicemails really suck. No one's enjoying him. He's so annoying. Plus so fucking boring and worthless. But he's got nothing else to do. And he's even worse than ish.
Okay, a couple voicemails here. First and foremost, oh.
Hey, Baller. Oh, Katie Shady. I'm calling because I heard that Matt in Fenway is soon to be in Cincinnati.
That's right.
And I don't think it's crazy to move here. Cincinnati, Ohio was just voted the number one place to live by some magazine somewhere.
That's right.
It's an affordable city. There's a lot going on. The food scene is incredible. I know that he loves my neighborhood, Northside, but I also wanted to put in here that I am one of the best realtors in the city, and I'm not making that up.
Yeah.
I'm in the top 1.5% of all realtors within Cincinnati, so if you are moving here, I would love to help you. Hit me up, Matt. All right. Thanks, guys.
This is what I said last week.
Yeah, that's the person to know, for sure.
Totally. She's a fucking machine. She's selling houses on the daily, a couple houses a week.
Has a connection to a bar. You could also have your local watering hole and a home.
Her old man owns a bar. Like you're welcome, Matt and Finlay, for the hookup. Here's another one.
Sorry for the double call. Wanted to say Cincinnati has about 3 million people in the metropolitan area.
Yep.
So it's like 3 million or 3.5 million. So it's not a huge city, but
it's pretty big.
It's big. And that's encompassing northern Kentucky and western Indiana. Ooh. All right, thanks, bye.
We could have left those parts out.
Yeah, across the river, that's the problem. That's where the days end with the gym.
Right.
Where,
yes, exactly.
Where your mayor
paid
for a check for hookers.
R.I.P., our guy. Okay, here's another one.
Hey, guys, this is Steve in H-Town. A couple weeks ago, y'all were talking about.
Now, Steve's always coming on. Well, he's not always coming on here. And look, I like Steve. Steve's a good guy, Steve Beninga. But he's trying to be scary with this voice, right? Like he's not.
Hang on a second. What? He has come on much deeper.
And scared. Oh, he has. Okay. Yeah.
He's got a deep voice. But this, look, there was one time he called in and he was super
he's
deep.
Terrifying.
This is fine.
He's terrifying. And I know I love Steve. He's a great guy. Also, I've tried to make this connection with other people before. Do we think Stephen H. Town is a rest in peace guy? Hold on a second. Just. What button did I make it here? Okay. Okay, hold. Listen.
Rest in peace. Rest in peace.
I think it's not deep enough.
It's not. Rest in peace. It's got, he's putting a twang on it.
But
you won't laugh no more.
Yeah.
Okay. This is.
You won't smile. Beautiful song. No more.
Beautiful song.
You won't fuck no more. No more. Oh, yeah. You won't laugh twice.
You're going to laugh again.
No more. Fuck no more.
So dearly departed.
Let's let him finish.
We hope you rest in peace.
Okay, now hold that. Now hold that. Now listen here.
The death of the great Ray Stevenson from Rome.
No?
And also.
You don't think so?
It's too deep. His voice is too deep to be that voice. Even though that voice is moderately deep. This is a very deep voice. Mm-hmm. What I do know about Steve, he is a cinephile. He knows a lot about movies. He's recommended many to us.
I think he may have been one of my Cobra recommenders. He's a good dude. Steve's been with us a while. I even sorted his credit card information out for him one time on Red Circle. That's how that's what I'll do for you.
So Punisher Warzone. I don't know how familiar you are with Punisher Warzone, but it had the great Jimmy McNulty in it from The Wire.
Oh yeah.
And if you're not familiar with
He was talking about Ray Stevenson. We talked about the dude from Rome that just died.
Yep. I think I saw the Punisher with the dude with the big dick, that Mickey Mantle in it. Thomas Jane.
But there's been like a ton of other Punisher.
I think this guy was the Punisher after that.
Right.
With the movie, I would highly recommend you go back and watch it because it's so horrible.
Oh.
You thought McNulty's accent was bad in The Wire. Yeah. It's completely bad in this movie.
Oh.
It might even deserve the Baller Lifestyle treatment.
Oh, I'm up for that.
Okay, one more thing. Daily's Choice, Wall Street Edition.
Oh.
Ed. You're at your old job in Wall Street. Yep. To the left is the head guy, the CEO, the big boss.
Yep.
He's getting his private bathroom remodeled that week.
Mm.
So he's pissing with the regular folks, the piss ants. To the right is the office poon. Excuse me, the office poon hound.
Yeah.
Little the road guy. He's just a regular dude that on the floor that trades like everybody else. But he slays it. He gets all the women. My God. So you're between the two. Who are you going to check out? The CEO or the guy that gets it? Later, guys.
Steve Beninga. Hold on.
Love this one.
Davey's Choice. It's a choice I make. Davey's Choice. Watch me shiver while you shake.
Steve Beninga coming in with the Andre the Giant versus Wilt Chamberlain level question, because this is a fantastic Daily's Choice.
A great question.
Of course, this is a game we play. Ed Daly walks up to a urinal. At either adjacent urinal is another usually famous gentleman, or in this case, somebody he works with. He's only got a chance to look at one penis. Who's it going to be, Ed? The CEO? The big fucking boss? Not to stereotype, but it's likely that he's going to be circumcised, okay? That's all I'll say. That's all I'm going to say there. There's a good chance he's circumcised. The guy on the right, the office poon hound. He's out there. He's every fucking night he's down there at Houlihan's and in the lobby, and he's just crushing a different model, and you're like, how does this guy do it? What has this guy got? Which is it, Ed? The near billionaire or the pussy hound billionaire?
I think it's a good question.
It's a hard one.
I'm going with the boss.
Yeah. Wow.
Because I already imagine the coxman, he's working with something good.
Yeah.
But I've seen a lot of those over the years.
Yeah.
But you only have one boss.
That's right. That's true. That's true.
Like, you only have one guy who's a titan of industry, and yeah. you have to wonder.
Yeah.
It could go either way. Is he just super confident because he's got a big old hog, or is he like pulling a Napoleon yeah. type deal? Like, he's overcoming something. So I'm just curious either way. Yeah. Whereas I know the Coxman is working yeah, with something.
He's got something nice down there. Wow. I mean, I could go either direction. That is a tough. That is one of the great.
It's a great. It's yeah, it's one of the choices tougher we've ones. Had.
Yeah,
one of the tougher ones.
Because I don't know if I want to know what the boss's dick looks like. But then, aren't you kind of curious? And similar with the Poonhound, you don't want to look over and be like, oh, that's it. Like, that's all he's got, and he's still pulling all that. Like, it's not even.
But if you
he ain't even dicked
if
up.
You ask me this question tomorrow, yeah. I might go the other way.
That's right.
Like, it's a great one.
Tough one. Okay, thanks for that, Steve. Here's another one.
Yeah, Stephen H. Steve. Again. I figure since everybody's calling back twice,
that's
it's
right.
my turn.
Yep.
Brian, you're absolutely right about preventing hiccups.
Oh, my God.
You got to jam your finger down your throat, right. man. You just got to. I've been doing it for years, yep. man. You just got to know that magical moment when that air comes out to stop
yep.
before yep. you vomit.
Yes.
Because if you do it too long, yeah, you're going to lose your lunch. But, man, it works, and it works so good, and it feels so good. You just, man, yeah. you don't want to be all bulimic, yep. and you don't want to puke up your lunch.
It's true.
But, yeah, that's the only thing that's worked for me for the last 15, 20 yeah. years.
Hiccups suck.
Relieve yeah. that pressure, yeah. baby. Just, yeah. oh, get that air out. It works every time. It always has.
Yeah, it does.
All right, later, guys.
Thanks. Yes, yes. Bye. So I don't like I recommended that. And as I recommended that, I was like, it has been so long since I've had a hiccup situation. Hiccoughs. I just don't go that hard like I used to. And then, you know, that was just like a week and a half ago that we were talking about that. And then I went out of town to Mexico, and I the first day there, I must have had like, I don't know, definitely in the double digits of beers and margaritas. And all of a sudden, Ed, they came up. I had that indigestion, and it came up, and it was, and I was bloated, and I felt like complete shit. And there was only one way, and I got that finger. I excused myself. I didn't make a big show of it. Excused myself. I went to the restroom, and I got that middle finger down there, and I was like working it. You know, I was like a middle schooler. I was just in there moving that finger around, trying to get that gag reflex going. And then eventually it's almost like a burp and a cough at the same time. And it's like, and like all it pushes all that air out or whatever's causing that diaphragm muscle to convulse. And it's the greatest relief that there is. And it also helped me to realize that I never want to be that drunk again. I'm just much too old to be doing that. Here's one more.
All right.
Hey guys, Super Lee here. Just want to say great couple Super episodes. Lee. And Brian, I can't tell you how much I appreciate your appreciation of my body.
Okay. So I made one comment that I saw a picture of Super Lee on Twitter, and the dude's a fucking unit. Like, he's not.
That's a big dude.
He's a big dude. And he won't let me forget my appreciation of his body, which I don't really. That's not how I worded it, Lee. I'm just saying, you're, you know, big guy.
I think it's sliding and getting worse, but the fact you think it's still there is. It means the world to me, man. I appreciate that. Also, hope you guys like the gift packet I sent you. I can't hear you talking bad about gummy bears. They're delicious. Those Albanese ones.
They're fantastic.
Target, definitely an Amazon. They stay soft. They're flavorful. They're amazing. And, you know, I want to see you get those gains once you get in the real 405 club, Brian.
Oh, come on. So,
you know, have some of those after your workout. Mix in some 5x5, some pre-workout beforehand.
Of course.
Afterwards.
Of course.
Man, we're too big. Don't worry, man. Don't get worried. Also, shout out to my man Chuck Snowjet.
Great guy.
SST. Man is awesome. Did not know him before this podcast.
Amazing.
Stuff. Got together at the brewery. Dude is absolutely amazing and awesome. Makes unbelievable homebrew beer. Guy is unbelievably better person than he's a brewer. He's a good brewer. So just shout out to him. Thanks to you guys. Love you guys all.
Oh,
take care.
Oh, God. Bye. I love that. I just love hearing this
love
stuff.
Love that. But Lee was the one who introduced us to salted nut rolls.
That's right.
And then these gummy bears.
Yeah.
Like,
so it's got a real sweet tooth.
I know very little about Minnesota.
Me either. Me either.
Like, I know Mary Tyler Moore.
That's right.
I know Prince,
The Replacements.
What was it? Kent Herbeck had the Bible verses on his batting gloves.
Yeah, no, that was Gary Gaetti. Wasn't that Gary
Gaetti? That was Gaetti, not Herbeck.
Pete Schlitzky, who did not grow up rich but lived next door to Gary Gaetti.
Gaetti's neighbor. Because that's totally what not rich people do, live exactly. next door to ball players. Yeah. And then Dan Gladden had the mullet.
He did, and he scored that winning run in Game 7 when Jack Morris pitched like 10 shutout innings or something.
Yeah, and then they had the coach who wore the blue blockers.
Oh, Tom Hanrahan.
No. I don't know. But that's and you know, we know Ragnar.
Yeah.
But what I'm learning,
love Ragnar,
with all of this delicious candy, is it like Willy Wonka's factory in Minnesota? What's going on? Why do they have better candy than New York City?
Because it's so fucking cold there, Ed. There's 4 feet of snow on the ground. Good
candy.
I know. They're candied up. It's a good question.
To the teeth.
Yes. Yeah. It's an interesting place, you know. That's I've never been. I've never been, but I would like to go.
For knowing Lee and
great guys.
And his candy recommendations and donations.
Yes.
No, much appreciated.
He's a great guy. And Snowjet SST, who's a home brewer. He's also a collector.
Like a musical.
Yeah, he's also a collector of vintage hi-fi gear, which I'm interested in.
He got me worried. Collector of vintage. We had been talking about Nazi memorabilia. Oh, it could be. I was afraid you were going to say that.
He may collect that as well. I don't know.
No way.
He also recorded this beautiful song for us. And let's not forget, I know, you know, I didn't want to list it first, but it is pretty important. He's the one that introduced us to his battle with the debilitating case of Peyronie's disease.
Oh, man.
And we wouldn't know what that was. You know, we'd see that Bent Carrot commercial and we wouldn't have known anything about that if it wasn't for our dear friend Chuck Snowjet SST.
Great guy. Great guy.
Great guy.
He was in New York one time and he asked if I was around and I would have met with him.
You big timed him.
No, but like I would love to meet people, but I definitely he like you said.
Yeah. Do you need some warning?
I had 6 hours to know if I was in or out.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's
something like that.
No, look, I mean, one time Pete Schlitzky came and I'm like, "Oh yeah, meet me at this one bar." And he's like, "Okay, how's Wednesday at 9:30?" And I'm like, "Buddy, I mean, only so much I can give here." One quick email. It just says, this is from our buddy Matthew Richards. I happened upon this picture of Bob Arino on his private jet. What are the odds that this guy wears a full captain's uniform on his own jet? The odds have to be plus 1,000 because, of course, he does. Yeah, no, he does. He always does.
Pictures of him in a captain's outfit. Yeah. Of course.
He is. It is one of those things, though, where we make fun of him, but he's a very accomplished pilot. Like, he's rated to fly 747s. I know it might be kind of like a Bill Cosby situation, but he's a captain with Qantas. Like he has like an honorary job or something. He's something with Qantas
But what we know about Qantas from the movie Rain Man, they've never crashed. They wouldn't give that honorary captain thing out.
That's true.
Whereas Temple University named him Dr.
Really
Cosby.
Good point. That's a really good one. Yeah.
And then you put Dr. Cosby, referred to himself as a doctor, even though it was like the honorary celebrity doctor.
That is a really good point. He was playing a doctor. Hey, would you think it was weird that he played a gynecologist on his TV show and that he made barbecue sauce that made all the bitches horny and he was doing appointments in his house.
Yeah. I would recommend anyone to watch the 3-part thing that W. Kamau Bell.
Yeah.
We need to talk about Bill Cosby. I think it was Showtime. It was very good because they show some of the women that accused him as guest spots. They played like pregnant women visiting his office on the Cosby Show.
Oh, really?
And then like they're like, hey, the lunch break. He's like, you know what? I'm going to take 2 hours instead of my usual hour, and we're good. And this particular extra is going to come to my trailer with me. And creeper.
Yeah. Okay. So John Travolta has, and I don't think I'm signed in here. I think this might be an incognito window, but just an FYI. John Travolta has a LinkedIn. Pilot for Qantas Airways at Qantas. Pilot for Qantas Airways, July 1981 to present, 42 years. So I'm just saying, and we have mutual connection. So I might try to friend him up. Captain John Travolta is the worldwide ambassador for Qantas Airlines. Winner of the American Institute of Aeronautical Engineers Award for Excellence in Aviation and Worldwide Promotion of the Airline Industry. This guy does not fuck around. Holder of 8 jet licenses, including Boeing 747, Boeing 707, Gulfstream 2, Hawker 125, Lear 24, 25, and 36, the British Vampire Jet, and the Canadair CL-41 Tebuan Jet. This guy is the real deal. John Travolta. He's, you know, he puts his mind to something. He gets it. Good for him. Let's talk about some stuff that's not sports. Forgot which button it is right here.
Well, it's time for non-sports segment on the Baller Lifestyle Podcast. Non-sports. I'm talking about the segment now. Non-sports segment.
Oh. Ed, what is going on in the world of things that are not sex?
Sports. Oh no, this definitely has to do with sex. Al Pacino, 82-year-old Al Pacino, is welcoming a child with his 29-year-old girlfriend.
You're an absentee landlord.
I just shot it right in.
Hey fam, there's still a lot more of this episode to hear, but it's only available to our bonus content subscribers. Click the link in the show notes or go to theballerlifestyle.com and subscribe so you never miss a minute of the show.
Daily and the man Jay Stu and Brian Beckner, quick to dissect the week in sports and culture and whatever. Reviewing some movies and shows and others. Top podcast, man, no one is above us. 5-star, even the haters will love us. And we're not trying to talk politics a lot. We'd much rather talk about dicks a lot. Shit's so hot, man, you know the shit's on top. Top podcast, man, it really hits the spot. Listen up, you players and shot callers, TBLS, the lifestyle's baller. And you know the show is so flawless, TBLS, the lifestyle's baller. Listen up, you players and shot callers, TBLS, the lifestyle's baller. And you know the show is for all us.